bashing, but actually relating to him as his children. Now we turn to our last four verses, which is the second main thread that we'll see in our text. When God's word is far. So for the Israelites, when God's judgment is near, for them, God's word was actually far from them. Let's look at our passage again. Look at verse 11, where God says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, but not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. In that day, the lovely virgins and young men shall faint for thirst. Those who swear by the guilt of Samaria and say, 'As your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives,' they shall faint, never rise again." For the Israelites, when God's judgment was near, when his word is far, this was true. God was silent towards them. Look at verse 11. They shall have a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. They had earned his judgment, but they had not just earned God's judgment. What else did they do? The Israelites defiled their relationship with the Lord. They defiled their relationship with the Lord. And for that, God says he will send a famine. They would have been very familiar through their conquests in their earlier years, and also through looking at other nations surrounding them, what famine brought on by conquest, by various wars would have looked like, or various sieges or captivities. They would have been very familiar with this, but then God clarifies, "I'm not going to bring just a famine of food, but I'm going to bring a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." God had sent his prophets, and he still has a couple more prophets after the book of Amos that he would send to Israel and to Judah to plead with them to repent, to live rightly before the Lord. But after the Israelites stiff-armed all these prophets, after they pushed all of them away, God says that when he would take them into Assyria, that they wouldn't have any more prophets. They wouldn't actively hear from them, which is also an aspect of God's judgment towards them. God was silent towards them, and also his words won't be found towards them in the exile in Assyria. Look at verse 12. "They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." The Israelites rejected God's word when it was near. And so when they were under the just hand of the Lord, when they actually wanted to seek God's word, it says that they couldn't find it. It was too late for them. Very sad reality, very clear reality as well. And the result of this, verse 13 through 14, the result was that there was both spiritual and physical devastation because of their sin. Again, look at verse 13. "And that day the lovely virgins and the young men, they shall faint for thirst." Lovely virgins with these young men, what do we know about them? Well, they're in the prime of their youth. So if these strong Israelites were to be fainting from thirst, how much more would the old or the weak or the sick Israelites faint from thirst? But this is not just fainting from thirst spiritually, which they would. They thirst for God's word, but they wouldn't be able to find it. But this is also a physical reality. And you might ask, how do we know that? We know the Assyrian exile happened and there was widespread famines in the land. And there's also widespread, like, various types of ways that people didn't get food, water, they would die. But then spiritually, that was also the case. They would want the word of the Lord, but they couldn't find it. You might ask, is this right? This doesn't seem right. Let's just be very clear on this. This is right. This is just of God. We see this again in verse 14. But they just can't stop seeking after their idolatry, their adulterous practices. Look at verse 14, our last verse. "Those who swear by the guilt of Samaria and say, 'As your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives,' they shall fall and never rise again." Now, to be very, very short and concise, the guilt of Samaria, reference to Dan, the way of Beersheba, all of these were places of idol worship, of alternative practice sites. Instead of worshiping the Lord as he demanded and required in his temple in sincerity and faithfulness, they chose to worship stone and wood and clay and gold idols. And for that, it says that these people shall fall. never rise again. And let's be clear again. This doesn't mean that Israel will be totally wiped out as God's people. But what it does mean is that the sinners in Israel, most of them, the vast majority of them, would be brought to their final end. Besides the faithful remnant that chapter 9 explains will be the ones brought out of that. And so we finish our passage, and we must spend the time thinking through what are the takeaways from the last four verses that we have. First off, seek the Lord when he may be found. That is an exact quote from Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord when he may be found. The Israelites, they rejected him when God could be found. And then when they wanted to find him, he was no longer there waiting for them. And so for us, while we still have life in our bodies and we still have breath in our lungs, we still have the joy of getting to seek after the Lord. The world will say, seek after this, seek after that. All fleshly or sinful or prideful or wrong or evil desires, saying that will bring satisfaction or that will bring satisfaction. And at the end of the day, you're going to find yourself wanting for more and never being satisfied. But when you seek after the Lord, he brings true fulfillment. He brings his joy, his peace, his love. He brings a sense of purpose towards us. And so let me plead with us. Seek the Lord when he may be found. And as you seek him, he changes us, right? If anyone is in Christ, 1 Corinthians says he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We're different when we do seek the Lord. He gives us different desires. He gives us different passions, such that we are people that would be described from the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because they shall be satisfied. So again, seek the Lord when he may be found, and hunger and thirst for what he would hunger and thirst for. Hate and despise what God hates and despises. And that is a truly satisfying life. And so hunger for God, thirst for him, read about him, think about him, take your thoughts captive to obey Christ, learn to love him, and then live out his word. And so a simple question: are you satisfied more by God, by your relationship with him, or by what the world has to offer and its fleeting pleasures? Next, a very practical application: hunger for God's word. The Israelites rejected God's word, and when they were hungry for it, they went hungry. They starved. Hunger for God's word. Jesus, in his response to Satan when he was being tempted in Matthew chapter 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He was saying, you need your three meals a day, but that's not the only thing you need. In fact, what you need more than just physical food is you need spiritual food. You need to hear from the living God who created you and is calling you to live for him. That's what you need more. So a very simple question. If you were to look at the last day, the last week, the last month, last year, the last decade of your life, have you been spiritually malnourished? Or have you been spiritually fat in a very good way, right? If you are a spiritually malnourished person, it's probably because you're focusing on a lot of other things, which might be good. They might even be commanded by God, but when our time is not filled with actually seeking the Lord in his word, meditating on scripture in his word and praying his word back to him, you're spiritually starving yourself. Maybe they'd be the type of people who read God's word, who meditate on it, who actively encourage other people with that and remind each other of scripture, that we would be people like the psalmist in Psalm 19, where he said, God's word is more valuable than gold. Is God's word more valuable than gold to you? And lastly, in response to the devastating end of the Israelites who sought after their own sinful rebellion, I would just plead with each of us. Choose life. Where do we get this? Deuteronomy 30, where Moses says, I've set before you the way of life and the way of death. You know what God has called you to live as. You know how God has called you to live and what paths you should seek. And us who have heard God's inspired, authoritative word, we know how God has called us to live. And so, are we going to choose that way of life? The only way, the only truth, the only life that we can get to God and have a relationship with him? Or are we going to be tempted by the way of the world that brings only fleeting fulfillment? So my question here is, do you believe that Jesus' way is best, or are you tempted to believe that the way the world is best? But we have a summary to bring all of this to one very clear, simple thought. This is the summary of our passage. We've already covered every aspect. When God's judgment is near, or even when his word seems far, seek him. Seek him, seek him, seek him. This is exactly where we were at last time I was here. In Amos chapter 5, where it says, seek the Lord and live. May we be the type of people who actively, faithfully, passionately, joyously seek him until he comes. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for this day. We are challenged and encouraged, even with such a hard passage, God, in Amos chapter 8. Father, we ask that you would help us to seek you faithfully in your word when we may be found. God, we ask that you would help us to be aware of the fact that you are coming again soon, God. When you do come, may we be rightly related to you. May we be on a right standing with you, walking in right fellowship with you. God, if there's any sin in our hearts that we've been harboring, not repenting of, or not seeking your help to defeat, God, we submit those to you, and we ask that you help us to walk in faithfulness. And God, we love you, we trust you, and we thank you that this word this morning that we got to hear from Amos chapter 8 will not return void. God, we ask that you would bring about various fruits as a result of this passage. Father, we ask this in your son's name. Amen. Amen.